The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Heritage Foundation is a right-wing think tank that claims to be the most influential conservative group in America. Its mission is to formulate and promote conservative public policies based on the principles of free enterprise, limited government, individual freedom, traditional American values, and a strong national defense. The policies promoted by the Heritage Foundation pose threats to LGBTQ rights and to reproductive rights, economic justice, and religious pluralism. It was founded back in 1973 by three Christian conservative men, Edwin Fulner, Paul Weyrich, and Joseph Coors of the Coors Brewing Company. Paul Weyrich was one of the architects of the Moral Majority movement, writing in the mid-1970s that the new political philosophy must be defined by us, the conservatives, in moral terms. When political power is achieved, the moral majority will have the opportunity to recreate this great nation. Heritage founder and former president of the foundation, Ed Fulner, served on Trump's transition team, and the CEO of Heritage Action has remarked that he's pleased with the access they've had to Trump and with the administration's appointments. Back in January 2018, Heritage released a statement claiming that then-President Trump had adopted nearly two-thirds of the policies recommended by the Heritage Foundation, including leaving the Paris Climate Accord and repealing net neutrality. And it continues to work against economic, reproductive and LGBTQ justice through influencing federal policy and publishing misleading research. It also seeks to sway public opinion through news outlets. Now, all of that is history, but during the run-up to the 2024 presidential election, critics of Donald Trump alleged that his second presidency would absolutely be inspired by Project 2025, a collection of policies developed by the Heritage Foundation. Trump, of course, publicly sought to distance himself from it all. But the truth is, much of his activity since entering office is probably reflected in those proposals. Simon Tierney has been investigating and he joins me now. Simon, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
First of all, just how deeply embedded is Project 2025 in the new administration?
Well, it's astonishing just how so many of his executive orders actually mirror the blueprint laid out in Project 2025, the document itself. From the eradication of DEI, diversity, equity and inclusion, to the complete dismantling of the Department of Education. More on that later. Now, this is a 900-page document, Pat. It's quite lengthy, authored by over 300 contributors, over half of whom served in the first Trump administration, I should say. And it lays out a policy framework for his second term. And I suppose in many ways, the central principles of it are classic conservative ideas, small government, policies based on the traditional family, border security and so-called freedom from government oversight.
So how is Project 2025 different?
Well, what sets it apart is the drastic actions it demands in order to meet these new objectives. And in this report today, I'm going to show you just how closely Trump is actually carrying out the policies of Project 2025, despite, as you say, his repeated assertions to the contrary. Now, in this clip, you're going to hear Trump speaking at the Heritage Foundation in 2022, and then you'll hear him completely distancing himself from it all 2 years later in the run-up to the election.
This is a great group, and they're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movement will do and what your movement will do when the American people give us a colossal mandate to save America, and that's coming.
Like some on the right, severe right, came up with this Project 25, and I don't even know. I mean, some of them I know who they are, but they're very, very conservative. He's involved in Project, and then they read some of the things, and they are extreme. I mean, they're seriously extreme. But I don't know anything about it. I don't want to know anything about it.
I purposely didn't even want to see it, because when somebody like you asked me a question about Project 2025, I can honestly say I've never seen it. I have nothing to do with it. I didn't read it, but I did hear some things in there that I would totally disagree with. And I said to the people that were really the people behind it, you know who those people are, I said, you really had no right doing this to me, because they used it as a soundbite, the Democrats. And I don't know, it couldn't have been too effective because they got slaughtered.
Trump and plausible deniability there, appearing to reject Project 2025. The reality, of course, is very different. A key part of Project 2025's ambitions is to return America to a traditional model of Christian nationalism. So, Simon, has this transferred to the new administration?
Let me give you a concrete example, Pat, of how Project 2025 is making its way directly into government. So Russell Vogt is the founder of the Center for Renewing America. This is a Christian nationalist organization, and he was one of the authors. In many ways, people call him the architect of Project 2025, and Trump has named him director of the Office of Management and Budget. He was in the news a lot last week. Now, one of the key ambitions of Project 2025 is to destroy what it describes as the deep state. Trump believes that it was the deep state that kept curtailing his ambitions during his first term. He kept using this term. This, of course, wasn't the deep state. It was the checks and balances of a functioning democracy. But Project 2025 clearly sees that if they want to get their ultra-conservative Christian nationalist policies implemented fast, they only have 4 years, then they need to centralize power in the hands of the president. This is key. Now, last summer, a British crowd called the Centre for Climate Reporting, they went undercover to interview Russell Vogt about his thoughts on Project 2025.
I think you have to rehabilitate Christian nationalism. You have the largest deportation in history. Block funding for Planned Parenthood. I want to be the person that crushes the deep state. 80% of my time is working on the plans of what's necessary to take control of these bureaucracies. And we are working doggedly on that, whether it's destroying their agency's notion of independence, they're independent from the president. You know, George Floyd obviously was not about race. It was about destabilizing the Trump administration.
Right.
We put out, for instance, a 50-page paper designed for lawyers to know that the president has, you know, the ability both along the border and elsewhere to maintain law and order with the military, and that's something that you know, it's going to be important for him to remember and his lawyers to affirm. But we've given them the case for that.
And that was Russell Vogt there. Now he's Trump's director of the Office of Management and Budget. One of Trump's more bizarre statements recently related to his new pick for the Department of Education and wanting her to put herself out of a job. So how does that relate to Project 2025, Simon? Because one imagines that young people and the information they consume is central to an organization pushing a Christian nationalist ideology.
Yeah, so Project 2025 calls for the complete destruction of the education department, Pat. This makes sense when you think about the widespread banning of LGBTQ books on school campuses, particularly in states like Florida over the past few years. Now, I've been reading the education section of the Project 2025 document, and it says, quote unquote, Pat, the Federal Department of Education should be eliminated. It also calls, of course, for the rejection of gender ideology and critical race theory. No surprise there. But their underlying philosophy is that the big bad federal government has interfered too much in the moral guidance of American children and that oversight should be returned to a more local level.
But it's all about money too, isn't it?
For sure. So Project 2025 traces what it sees as a bloated and expensive government attempt to help to lift up and educate minorities, going right back to the Civil Rights Act of 1964 with Lyndon Johnson, as if this has all been some sort of dreadful waste of money, that the department has become enslaved to special interest groups. Now, there's one part that I underlined while reading the document, and it says, families and students do not need a Department of Education to learn, grow and improve their lives. It's sort of beggars belief. So Project 2025's explicitly stated desire, Pat, for the end of this department is reflected perfectly in one of the things that Trump said last week.
Why nominate Linda McMahon to be the Education Department Secretary if you're going to get rid of the Education Department?
Because I told Linda, I hope you do a great job and put yourself out of a job. I want her to put herself out of a job, Education Department. So we're ranked number 40 out of 40 schools, right? We're ranked number one in cost per pupil. So we spend more per pupil than any other country in the world. And we're ranked at the bottom of the list. We're ranked very badly. And what I want to do is let the states run schools. I believe strongly in school choice, But in addition to that, I want the states to run schools, and I want Linda to put herself out of a job.
Well, freedom of speech, that's been a linchpin of Trump's ideology and indeed that of his surrogate in chief, Elon Musk. And my understanding is that Trump has put a Project 2025 ally in charge of this particular area.
Yeah, so Trump has chosen Brendan Carr, one of Project 2025's authors, to head up the Federal Communications Commission, which oversees TV, radio, internet. It's sort of basically the American version of Commission a Man, Pat. So this is interesting because a triangle of mutual benefit emerges when we see just how vociferous Carr has been on behalf of Elon Musk, who, of course, describes himself as a free speech absolutist and he has major game in communications with Starlink, his satellite internet company. Now, just before Christmas, Brendan Carr appeared on Fox News to demonstrate how Musk and his business interests would be treated under the new Trump administration. This clip that we're going to hear, it includes those comments, but it also includes his priorities, such as the eradication of DEI, which reflect Project 2025's ethos.
From my perspective, there's a couple of top issues. Number one is looking at tech censorship. You know, free speech is the bedrock of our democracy, and there's been this unprecedented surge in censorship over the last couple of years, and we need to restore Americans' First Amendment rights. Number two is to look at our approach to media. You know, Jeff Bezos just recently did an op-ed where he said that Americans don't trust the news media. He said now they're the least trusted of all, and I think he's speaking a lot of truth there. So I think the status quo, particularly when it comes to legacy media, needs to change. Well, if you look at the last couple of years, you know, President Biden stood at the White House podium a couple of years ago and said Elon Musk is worth being looked into. And ever since then, the regulatory agencies have launched unprecedented lawfare. You know, the FCC revoked unlawfully an $800 million award to Elon Musk. Every single agency started investigating him. And so I think that it's time for the American government to not give people differential treatment based on their last name. And everybody is going to get a fair shake from the government going forward. Yeah, look, we need to get back to common sense in the government. The idea that the Federal Communications Commission lists as its second highest strategic priority promoting DEI, there's no place for that. And when the transition is complete, when we come in, the FCC is going to end its promotion of DEI. We're going to focus on our core mission.
And that was Brendan Carr, Trump's head of the Federal Communications Commission, speaking on Fox News. Now, moving to the southern border, Trump's so-called border czar is a man named Tom Homan. Did he play any part in Project 2025?
Tom Homan is yet another Project 2025 contributor who is in the Trump administration, Pat. Now, the document calls for, quote, an aggressive approach to tackling dangerous criminal organizations at the border. I mentioned at the beginning of this report how it's the drastic actions that Project 2025 calls for that really sets it apart from regular traditional conservative policy. It calls for the use of active duty military personnel to assist in arrest operations along the border. One of the very first things Trump did on day one of his second presidency, Pat, was to order troops to the border. Now, here's Tom Homan on Fox News last week talking about preventing gangs from crossing into the U.S.
Once we secure the border and make it more difficult for them to make money, it's going to become violent. You're going to see violence on the border, and it's unfortunate, but we know it's coming. Border Patrol is prepared. It's great to have the military on the southern border. They're prepared. It'd be a bad move on their part to harm any Border Patrol agent or soldier, because I think President Trump will reply with great force, and I think he has the capability of wiping these cartels off the face of the earth if they harm our soldiers or Border Patrol agents. So, word of advice, I wouldn't go there. With our military on the border, their military on the border, the cartel's going to be hurting. Which means this, when we secure the border, less fentanyl overdose deaths in the United States, less sex trafficking women and children, less known suspected terrorists coming across that southern border. So it's a game changer, and President Trump's moving at lightning speed. I'm simply amazed what President Trump does every day to prove to me that he's the greatest president of my lifetime.
Now, one thing that alarmed many people about Tom Homan was his stated willingness to enter schools to track down illegal immigrant children whom he perceives to be national security threats. Have you been able to trace that particular policy back to Project 2025?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've located it, Pat. So there's a section in the document where it calls for, and I quote, the civil arrest, detention and removal of immigration violators anywhere in the United States without warrant where appropriate. The word anywhere is italicized in the document itself. Now, presumably schools come under their interpretation of anywhere. Tom Homan is here again speaking with Caitlin Collins on CNN, where he's asked about this and whether or not agents raiding schools might have a chilling effect on the atmosphere of those schools.
There's no safe haven for public safety threats and national security threats. People say, well, were you really going to a high school? Well, people need to look at the MS-13 members and 10 Diagua members who entered this country, a majority between the ages of 15 and 17. Many are attending our schools, and they're selling drugs in the schools, and they're doing strong-arm robberies of our students. So we not go into schools or hospitals as a matter of practice, but if it's a significant public safety threat or a significant homeland security threat, there's no safe haven. We'll go where we need to go to take them off the street. Like I said, when the circumstances arise, we got a national security threat, a significant public safety threat, we're going to go where we got to go, whether it's a school, a church, or a hospital. The national security is important. And look, name another law enforcement agency. Does the FBI have those requirements? No. Does DA have those requirements? No. So I shouldn't have those requirements either. We have a national security responsibility. We're going to take these people off the street. If it's out of school, that's what we're going to do. Again, it takes a lot to get approval to go into school or church, but if there's a national security threat, we're going. It shouldn't be a chilling effect unless your child's a terrorist or a public safety threat. If they are a public safety threat, national security threat, they should be chilled. They should be afraid because we're looking for them.
And that was Tom Homan, Project 2025 contributor and Trump's border czar, speaking to CNN. Simon, thank you very much for that report.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.